And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Hello, my name is LF Midwood. Welcome to the Midwood Files. I unplugged the camera, and it's mad. It's not happy. I have to redo it. I had it a certain way, and then every now and then, because this encoder is not the best in the world, it's adequate. It stopped. And I'm also running a little lighting in here. Let me see what's going on. And then... I don't want to mention any names, but then someone apparently unplugged the headphones and didn't say anything to me. So the headphone wire looks like it's going into the damn socket, but it's not. And I'm like, why am I not getting any audio? Why can't I hear my voice in my head? And you know what happens when I can't hear the voice in my head, right? Some of you know. So I'm trying to make adjustments while I'm live. And I have some interesting news for those of you who follow the program. It's been determined due to technical reasons on both sides of the country that the move will it's the LF Midwood Files producer move from Providence, Rhode Island to I'm comfortable saying Austin, Texas because it's close enough. Austin will be postponed until mid-June. And we're looking for an April. We're looking for an April blast-off. But, you know, Texas has had the crap beat out of it recently. And while still showing, very much showing signs of life, it would be good if we gave them some time and we gave ourselves some time because we're fat, old, and tired to get this job done. So we'll be reasonably uninterrupted into June, mid-June-ish in that area, which is like a couple, a few months away. So that's relevant news because I know the original plan was, I don't like the lights. I can do something about that while I'm live. Let me see. I don't want to get too deep into it because then I'll get like into my head, man. You know what happens when that happens. Let me see. A little bit more. Yeah, I don't like that's blasting off my forehead. All right, we'll just leave it like that for now. I didn't like it blasting. I felt that was overexposed. I blew my head off, as they say. So yeah, so there's good news for some of you, I guess. I'll still be around for a little while. I don't actually know how long the downtime's going to be. I'm going to try and because I could probably hook something up right away to be able to stream audio. Once we're there, and I tell you the truth, I look more around my studio and my wiring and everything, and I'm like, I have all the pieces. I have like all the main major pieces. There's like hardly anything. I'm missing one or two little things, for the studio to be like what I always envisioned in my head, which is good. And that's both audio and video. I'm looking forward to the new space. I am, because I want to tailor the video to the new space. I feel like the screen back here is killing me a little bit because it's a little short from where it should be lengthwise, you know, as far as, you know, that width, I guess, the width. And I fight with it every week. So I'm looking forward to having a new, better space with better tables. We're not taking this desk with us. This is an antique desk we're leaving here with my aunt that we picked up in Virginia. I'm actually quite, you know, for me, it's great size, but for her, it's not a good situation. So we're going to try to get a desk that splits the difference between what's good for her and what's good for me, because I got to be able to get under the damn thing every once in a while. And I want to rack the audio you know, actually put it in a rack. It'll develop rack rash, and that'll bother me, but no window. And the lighting's good. It just, you know, it's like I said, it's just little tweaky things here and there that need to be tailored to the room. Right now, this stuff's really not as customized to the room as it could be. For instance, I pulled on a wire and I unplugged my video encoder. So that's not, you know, that's not good. I don't even want to touch it because it'll stop again. And then I'll have to restart OBS and that'll be an issue. So, you know, as much as we've really gotten there, do I have my, okay, have that too. That's good. That's working. paid for it. I want every penny out of it. You know, it's a work in progress. So I'm looking forward to starting over on that level and, like, you know, finalizing. You know, it's like the idea of that's the space that it's staying in for the foreseeable future, which is really good because I built some of this stuff knowing that I wouldn't be. So, you know, and as you may have noticed, I played the long opening and there was no opening music. There has not been any music for, I don't even know how long it's been now. It's been like months, possibly months. This is the last show of February, right? Yes, today is the last day of February, so tomorrow will be March 1st. So I anticipate, let me get some more Red Bull. I anticipate more Red Bull. Ouch. I anticipate some music next week. I really kind of put the effort in a little bit this week, but like last night, yesterday, I started watching a show called Snowfall on Fox, FX actually, and it's basically the story of how crack came to South Central Los Angeles and I guess the rest of the world from there. And it's not a documentary; it's a program. But I some of the names have been changed to protect the guilty, but you know who certain people are if you're familiar with the story. And it's a gripping story. So I've watched the first, I think I watched 5 episodes yesterday and I watched 5 episodes tonight. And I got up and I was like, I'm going to do some stuff. And I said, you know what? By 9 o'clock, I'm definitely going to be going into editing mode because I know what I want to do for music, which is like half the battle. And I just didn't do it, man. I just kept watching episodes of Snowfall. I'm horrible. I know. I'm absolutely terrible. But remember, I only do this to amuse myself. You know, let's not kid ourselves. The Connecticut desk was telling me, I spoke to the Connecticut desk bureau, the desk chief over there, and he was telling me he listens live because, you know, he's an old geezer dude, you know. So he listens live now these days, right? And then he listens again on Sunday, which is really quite absurd, if you ask me. But we appreciate the loyalty, you know, of course. But for most of you, yeah, I don't, you know, I was thinking about this, like, I'm going out there with nothing again. And it's like, well, am I ever really going out there with nothing? I don't think I'm ever really going out there with nothing. I might be going out there not having looked at any relevant news and not having edited any music for music. But at the end of the day, it's still me yammering into the microphone, which is really what all this is about. You know, I not for nothing, I think you should yammer into a microphone. I say it all the time. Yeah, he's going through one of those phases again. I think everybody should have a podcast. You know, I think at least a simple audio podcast is not that difficult to do, especially with USB mics being abundant these days. You can just do basic talk, you know, somewhere like Spreaker or whatever. Or, God forbid, your own website. You know, so you're in control of the platform, or at least as control as you can be of the platform. Yeah, I think everybody should do it. I think everybody who's reasonably intelligent should do it. There's a lot of dumbasses out there that I would really prefer not be doing anything, let alone podcasting. But if you are in possession of intellect, I believe you have a responsibility to flex it every once in a while, and actively participate in. I'm watching these meters. Actively participate. There it is. And in the world around you, and in political life and otherwise. Speaking of political life, the CPAC is going on as we speak, which is really, it's taken over Fox for the most part. I didn't watch Greg Gutfeld tonight. I watched Snowfall instead. I'll catch Gutfeld. I think I can catch it tomorrow if I get up early enough. I think Dana Perino was supposed to be on. Not that any of this matters to you, because I know I'm a Fox guy now, and that's really horrible. It makes me a bad person, and you're probably going to poke my eye out the next time you see me, but that's all right. I've done a little eye poking in my time. I get it. So it's taken over Fox, and I haven't checked One American News. O-A-N-O-1-N-N. I never get that right. H2O, something like that. It's probably consumed their programming as well, too. The president, and when I say the president, the only president that actually matters, the legitimately elected president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, will be giving a speech tomorrow. I don't know what time. I have to find out what time. I think they've been talking about it, but I just details. You know how I am. I look forward to... I look forward to hearing what the president's vision of the future of the party is, that is the Republican Party, which I feel shackled to, sadly enough, and in his own personal, you know, and whatever he, you know, because he's got a little time to kill to 2024, you know what I mean? I think even Mitch McConnell said, I think it was this week or week before last, that if there are elections again, he would expect President Trump to be in the race as a candidate. I don't think he gets so far as the win. I don't think he said that, but definitely a candidate, which is, you know, just as important as winning. You can't whatever until you do the thingy, right? So whatever that saying is, gotta be in it to win it. So yeah, I'm kind of obviously interested in that, and I think, you know, I am following certain things. I'm following this very porky bill that's going through. I think it made it out of the House and into, it's going to the Senate now. The COVID $1.9 billion COVID relief bill, which has the Silicon Valley subway in it, and it's got the bridge to Canada. Like, we need another bridge to fucking Canada. Why do we even need a bridge to Canada? What's up with that? Don't we attach to Canada with enough land points? Seriously. Seriously, are we trying to encourage Canadian immigration? What are we doing? I don't know if that's necessary, quite frankly. Yeah, anyway. So I'm kind of following that, and that's probably going to pass. You know, it's even if it ties, it's going to go, and then she'll break the tie, and then that'll be the end of it. So they'll get it that way. But it is very porky, which is really disappointing. And I think even some Democrats stepped up and said, hey, this is kind of a porky bill. There's stuff in here that doesn't have anything to do with COVID relief. You know, and then we talk about the idea of the education, where the schools can't open until we get the thing released. And we know, you know, into the money released to the schools. And we know that's bullshit, because the friggin' schools, they haven't spent all the money that was allocated until the last bill. You know, it's what it is that the teachers' unions, they don't want to go back to work. they don't want to be your babysitters, meaning the Red Bull's really coming. They don't want to go back to being your kids' babysitters, or your friends' kids' babysitters, whatever the case may be. I know parochial schools have stayed open, you know, religious schools, and some charter schools have stayed open, without any incident. I mean, I think it's pretty much proven at this point in time that there isn't a whole lot of COVID transmission amongst children, for whatever reason. I mean, I know there were cases of kids getting sick from COVID, but apparently it's a very small percentile, regardless of what Fauci may say. I was watching this thing on Fauci right before I came in here, and it's turned into like whack-a-mole with this guy. I mean, I'm just tired of it. I'm just literally, honestly, 100% tired of it. And I don't even care if he's right about half of what he says. It's just shut up. Just, you know, be quiet. You know, go put on four masks and sit in the corner to 2022. You know, it's like, when are we going to go back to normal? He goes, oh, go back to normal. Well, maybe next year, the year. We're never going back to normal. This is a type of event that changes the world forever. To a certain degree, there are always going to be people now, you know, who are like borderline germaphobes, borderline, who are now going to be wearing masks forever. You know, Evan, I don't know if you noticed this or not, because this may not be a phenomenon that you've, experienced yourself. But we have had several Chinese laundries in the Providence area. And whenever I went to peek by the Chinese laundry, don't ask me why I was doing that, but I did. They were all wearing masks. And this was going back like 10 years ago. They were all wearing masks. So, you know, the Asians, they're like, you know, once or twice, you hit them with something once or twice, and they're like, oh, they learn. Me learn fast. So, me mask you long time. you know, so that being said, you know, certain segments of society may not, you know, may not ever, the world will never go back to normal. It's just like at post 9/11. The world will never go back to normal. This is like what the new, this is the new normal. This is like people flying planes into buildings. That's where, you know, the fact that we lived in a world where that wasn't conceivable. Although, yet that was depicted in TV on the Lone Gunman plots, which was really kind of interesting. But let's illuminate that from the mix. You know, the idea of people flying planes into buildings or strapping, you know, vests, suicide vests to their children. Or firing rockets into heavily populated areas just for shits and giggles. We didn't see that stuff. We lived in a world that didn't exist. And then all of a sudden, these things started to happen. And they changed. They changed forever. Because it's like unringing a bell. You can't. It's out there, man. And I think a lot of people are going to feel that way going forward about COVID. You know. Now, I haven't shown any symptoms. And I'm back from my expedition a couple of weeks now, I guess. Yeah, I came back the 9th. I think I came back the 9th, so it's almost over 2 weeks. I feel, you know, I feel as crappy as I normally do, you know, no extra crappiness. My back actually has been feeling a little bit better, for those of you interested in such matters. And if I were a carrier, you know, like asymptomatic, I think I would have gotten either my aunt or my the producer sick, and neither of them have shown any sort of symptoms whatsoever at all. As a matter of fact, we went to go see my Uncle George yesterday. Was it yesterday? Friday? Today's Saturday. Yes. Yes, it was yesterday. I just got there for a second. So I'm feeling okay. I mean, you know, as far as like physically goes, I'm feeling probably borderline as well as I feel. And in my head, you know, I get really psyched about the move, and then I think about like it's gonna be difficult, you know. It's not really a financial hardship at all. That's way under control. It's for the physical packing, unpacking aspect of things. You know, physically moving my crap, or I should say, our crap. And then adjusting to life in a new place. You know, it's like I haven't had to adjust to life in a new place in quite some time, and. You know, even before we were here, we were, you know, we lived in low populated areas. You know what I mean? We never lived in a place where there was like a whole friggin', you know, Brady Bunch family type deal going on, you know, like the fucking Von Trapps, you know, we never. Seriously, I mean, you know, when I got out, I lived with Shirley and then Gina and I lived with Shirley. And then we moved from Shirley's to Rich's, and it was just four of us there. One, two, three, four. Yeah, four of us. And then we lived on our own, and it was just the two of us. And then we came here, and it's just three of us. And now we're, all of a sudden we're moving to a place where there's like 27,000 of them. You need to number them. That's how many friggin' there are. That's how many. So, and they're moving around all times a day, too. It's like crazy, you know? So I don't, you know, it's like, you know, it's. I think it's going to be me and Spatsy hiding under the bed. We're going to be like, what? No, just send the food under. We'll be fine. So there's a little, I'm, you know, a little apprehensive. I mean, I've had this conversation before, and the only reason I bring it up is because we talked about it. You know, I the idea of postponing the move and whatnot. We actually wanted to postpone it for a little bit more, but we negotiated and bargained down to mid June, which is good because it works with people. They have people graduating and all sorts of stuff going on over there, and then I think it's raccoon catching season or whatever it is down there. There's always something. There's always the start of some sort of season going on down there. Duck season, rabbit season. So this seems to work the best. So we'll be down there like for the hottest part of the summer, which is good to know, right? Yeah. Okay. And what I'm going to do, my plan, it's going to be a very personal show. I'm just in one of those moods. My plan when I get down there, once I get everything settled and whatnot, is I have to reestablish myself with my Medicaid because I can get my meds. Otherwise, I'll be a raging whatever. And that's not really good, right? That doesn't really help. You know, I'm aware of that. So, and I think I'm going to get one of those. I'm either going to get a Fitbit, or something similar to it. Maybe the Samsung version. I haven't decided yet. And I'm going to try and get like 10,000 steps per day. They're not going to be really hard, jarring steps, you know, because I won't be on concrete, which is good. It's all grass and whatnot. So I think I'm going to try and get 10,000 steps a day as some form of exercise. And I think my weight will drop and I'll start to feel better. Because I think everything that's really making me feel bad right now is weight related. And my back problems will never really go away. And that's the God honest truth, they'll only get worse. At least I can have some sort of better quality of life before that happens. I believe that's still true. I don't think I've peaked. I hate to think that I've peaked as I scarf down Chinese food by the pound, literally. So that being said, you know, it's just, I'm kind of looking forward to that. And I'm just looking forward to kind of like having like a normal person schedule. I feel like a mole person here. Even when I go out now, you know, as limitedly as I do, I'm still like, I haven't felt like a person in like a long time. I can't remember the last time I felt like a person. You know, there's always, you know, you spend 11 years in a particular circumstance and it's just, that has grown progressively worse. You know, the word deterioration, a continuance and deterioration and peaking of malfeasance, it gets to you. It wears you down psychologically, 100% wears you down. So I'm looking forward to, you know, re-energizing. Perhaps maybe the way I have to use these words, you know, these words that these life coaches and people like that use. You have to re-energize yourself. I'm like, okay. Can I get that in a can? Did I have that? Let's make it a waste of can. Mm-hmm. Ah, 10 minutes in, my bloodstream starts to absorb the caffeine. It takes 10 minutes. And stuff sticks around your system. Caffeine sticks around your system for like 24 hours. I don't know if any of you knew that or not. I don't know if any of you cared. So I'm feeling, yeah, you know, I'd feel better if there were less to do. I mean, there was physically less for me to do. And all I had to do was show up, you know. But it's not. There's a whole thing attached to this, you know. Like even physically driving there, we're going to be in a, we figured out how that's going to work. So, you know, it's going to be the two cousins and Gina and I and the two cats in the truck. He has a pickup, a nice, you know, four-door pickup truck. Excuse me. So that should be fun because we have basically 2 days to talk to each other, which means that by the time we arrive, we shouldn't have anything left to say to each other. Which is actually, if we're only that simple. But I don't think so. I don't think so because we're going to have to go meet Cousin Clem and Cousin Clem's Cousin Clem and Daryl and his brother Daryl. And it's just, you know, the whole thing. The whole slew of them. Shock. I have to make a point of speaking Yiddish. Yeah. when I get there, I'll speak Yiddish. That'll totally confuse them. They'll be like, you know, I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, token, I'm kind of like, just one more thing. But I finally feel, at least, and this is me being extremely optimistic, which I generally am not, it's that last big push. You know what I mean? Just that last really big push, and then you're done. You know? And then we could just kind of relax and settle down after we stop becoming the roadside attraction for a couple of few weeks. Should I say the roadkill attraction for a couple of weeks? Everything will calm down, it'll settle into it, and then that's great. And then there'll be light in the rooms, light. I want to live in a place where there's light, believe it or not, where there's light, like natural light. It's become very important to me since I've started dabbling in photography, which I'm still doing. There's just nothing, there's no light, and there's really nothing worth taking pictures of here, and I'm not going to walk around the ghetto with my camera. It's just not going to happen. I'd have to walk around with a gun and my camera, in which case, you know, it's just bad news. So, but I am also, like I said, looking forward to getting dabbling further, deeper into photography and improving a studio setup, because there's always room for improvement with the equipment you have. You can always squeeze a little bit more out of it. So, yeah, I mean, I am looking forward to those aspects of things. I think maybe there might be another trip to New York before I leave, now that we've stretched it by another 3 months. I'm not sure of that, however. I can't say for sure. But if that's not the case, I'll be back within a couple of few years to say hello. And of course, all of you can follow me in my podcast, Exploits. It doesn't, yeah, it should be. I'm interested in, you know, my audience doesn't, it's not actively participant. It's a very passive audience. I've noticed this. And John has like the same thing, kind of the same thing. You know, and I don't make a point of giving my email address out a lot. And I don't have anywhere near as many people partaking of my show as John does. So, I mean, I don't expect like a huge, huge response. But I am interested, and I guess I might have to do it myself, but I'm interested in seeing, you know, how much of a difference there is once I'm settled, you know, because getting the studio reconstituted is one of my biggest priorities. And we really can't do that until we get the proper studio furniture. So there's got to be a little shopping involved, which makes me wonder whether I'm going to be able to do it like right away. But I should at least be able, like I said, to get audio. I wonder if that's just an overall improvement, you know, as in the beatings shall continue until morale improves. I wonder if there's going to be an improvement in morale in that regard. It would be interesting to see it. It would be super, super, super interesting to see it. But you never know. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not really sure. You know, I come out here and I'll giggle a bit and I'll laugh, you know, because, and it's like, it's not indicative. Why is my phone still? Oh, okay. I know why it's doing that. That's better. I found the wire for my tablet. My tablet hadn't been plugged in like a month. I found the wire in my, I haven't unpacked my suitcase from coming home from New York yet. It's been 3 weeks. I found the wire for my tablet, which is a different wire than the one from my phone. We'll just leave it at that. So now my tablet's charging. So I'll be more inclined to have, and I think I want to try and work with the screen in front of me a little bit. My eyesight, far as long as I keep my glasses on, is like pretty good. But when I go, I can't see up front, so I have to pop them up on top of my head. And I just, you know, this whole getting old thing is just like nobody really told me that it was going to be like this. I didn't. I had suspected, you know, that it wasn't going to be good, you know, which is why I pretty much lived my lifestyle the way I did. But nobody told me it was going to be this bad. No, I had no inkling. You know, it's like, oh my God, it's exhausting. It's little, and I guess it's, if you know, you are what you eat, diet and exercise really go a long way with that energizing things. But I feel the opposite of energized the vast majority of the time. And from what I understand, from what people tell me, this is normal. So this is not something that I'm being singled out for. You know, being older folks are like, you know, and I look at people that are older than me, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I got to do another. What am I? I'm still 50. Still with a big 5-0. I got another, what, 20 years, 25 years before the, you know, the high and the low to the end of the show. I don't see much past 75 being a point, quite frankly. Although my Uncle George at 93 is still having a hell of a time. Yep. I finally got the right crossword. He likes to do crossword puzzles. I think I mentioned this. And I ordered him some crossword puzzle books, and they were really hard because they were like the ones from the New York Times and the LA Times and that sort of thing. And they use really hard puzzles, you know, so it's like too hard for him. So he put those books aside and he said, they're too hard. And I'm like, you know, I felt like saying, what are you, fucking stupid? Is that what you're telling me? But he's an old guy, so I'm not going to do that. So I said, okay, so I have to find some other books. So I looked around and looked around and looked around, and apparently there are ones that are like targeted towards old people. Now, they don't say that they're dumb or anything, you know, that they're losing some sort of mental capacity, but they kind of just kind of, there's an aura of it, if you understand what I'm saying. It eludes ever so subtly. So I got those for him, and he's happy. He called me. As a matter of fact, I had it shipped to his house via Amazon, and I ordered them on the phone, and they were like there the next day, which was like pretty amazing. And he called me up. He had to call me up and say, look, I got him. I did one. I did. Oh, he said, I did one. And I go, oh. And he goes, no, I just did one puzzle, not a whole book. So I was like, oh, you know, I pretty much, it's like you kind of have to like, yeah, I that's what I assumed you meant, but I didn't want to, you know what I mean? Because, you know, it's hard, man. It's hard with old people. It's when they get to that point in time, you know, it's a little, you know, and I can relate, you know, having done so many drugs for so long a time, you know, because a lot of it's like long-term effect, you know. Now, granted, I haven't exactly been an illicit drug user as a lifestyle in quite some time, but the amount of drugs that I used in what would be considered a very short period of time, you still see, like, I can do like a long-term effect study on myself, and I'm like, yeah, there's something wrong. You know what I mean? And then it's hard because of the bipolar, right? So I don't know what's bipolar related. I don't know. Because I have a legitimate chemical imbalance, right? Which means that I'm pretty much starting with the record being warped. You know, whoops. You know, just that. You know, it warps and it comes back around a needle. And I'm pretty much starting with that. And then I'm throwing all these drugs, particularly acid, a lot of acid and a lot of marijuana, right? And then nothing. And then nothing, right, for a long time. Just me raging at the world. And then, like, up to, like I said, about 4 years ago, so I started a treatment, particular treatment plan for my bipolar. So I'm on a lot of pharmaceutical, which are legal drugs, obviously. So there's been a lot of activity, on the, if you look at the thing, with the do up and down, there's a lot going on there, you know what I mean? And how do you pick it apart? You know, I have a hard time doing. That's like, I'll probably spend the rest of my life trying to pick it apart, you know, and like the idea of, oh, that's a good idea. And then is it really? You know, there's that like voice there. That's why I said, if I can't hear my voice, it's bad. There's that voice in my head kind of like second guessing myself all the time. And then that's fine, you know, because it's not about, you got to live your life, you know, but it's like that, you know, like the idea, like your mother's voice telling you stuff. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's kind of like that, which is really interesting because my mother never really did that, I must say. But it's really strange. It's just really, really, really strange being me. And it's hard. You know, like I said, I generally scrape most as I can together, as most as I have for the week together, to be able to do this podcast. I don't think, you know, I've said this probably too many times before, I don't think people appreciate the level of scrapiness that I have to engage in order to be able to, you know, that's what I hate. People think, oh, you're so lucid. It's like, yeah, man, if you fucking knew what was going on inside my head right now. It's like I'm thinking about peeling your fucking skin off your face with a fucking paring knife. It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. Everything's fine. All I wanted was a Pepsi, you know? Yeah. Anyway, there's a reference for you. And then change. Nobody likes change, but I'm like the king of nobody liking change. I'm like, I start to grumble going on. My cat goes grumbly. He goes, I get like that because I don't like change. And the idea of massive change is frightening to me. I mean, I'm not embarrassed to say it. I'm like, I'm frightened. I get frightened. I used to be fearless. I was fearless. Literally, I was fearless, you know. And now I find myself, you know, again, being a shadow of my former self, I find myself afraid, you know, of change, of massive change, of minor change, key changes, whole nine yards, just afraid. So it's like, and it's, you know, it's like I said, it's hard because I think, I've read this enough in regards to people who have done incredibly brave things, you know, whether it be military or in their own personal lives. And the thing that stuck with me the most, and I try and think about this the most, is that, you know, everybody becomes afraid. There are things that will make everyone or anyone afraid. It's overcoming that fear that makes someone brave. Bravery is not absence of fear. Absence of fear is just outright stupidity at times. You know, really, think about it. Or self-destructiveness. So I know that. I know from that. I've been on that side of the mountain. So to like overcome one's fear, and I try to focus on that, and I try to say to myself, you know what, you're just going to like every other thing that you've overcome and done, you're going to do this. And it's going to be fine. And you got, if anything, I now have a bigger, possibly more annoying support mechanism, you know, support team in that regard, possibly more annoying. And that's great, right? You got to look at all the positives, you know. And plus, I can't stay here. It's been discussed that there's no way that we can stay here. It's just not in the cards. It didn't work out that way, which is, you know, kind of shame because I like the Northeast. You know, obviously I have a propensity coming back here and having fall and winter again was like awesome. So I had you know, I had 10 of those to enjoy, almost 11 of those to enjoy. Yeah, and I tried not to, you know, again, take those for granted for the most part. Try not to take anything for granted. You know, I lived in a metal box and I didn't own anything. So when you go through that type of experience, it's all come back from there. You know what I mean? It's literally, you're talking about the guy, the idea of a comeback kid. It's all come back from there. And I'm like, you know, I feel like my cat. I think Spatsy and I are on the same page, 100% on the same page. Where is he? He was hanging out a little bit. He gets, you know, and that's another thing that gives me an insight into getting old. You know, I notice it because, you know, with cat years, my cat's probably in cat years, probably my age or a little bit older. He might be in his mid to late 50s in cat years. In people years, he's only like, I think he's going on 10 solid. Because it's not 8 or 7 consistently. With cats, it's somewhat a strange formula, which makes sense, right? You know, with dogs, it's like 7 years. 7 years and you still smell bad. With cats, it's 7 and then it's 6 and then it's 4 in the last year and then you have to take off 3. It's complicated. It's a thing online. I read it online, so it must be true. So Spats and I are about the same age. And let me tell you, man, this cat is like, he's grumbly. He's like getting, he's just really not into it, man. He's into what he's into and he's not into what he's not, you know? And there used to be places where I could pet him where I can't pet him now. He will bite me. He will bite me. He never used to bite me. I could pet that cat anywhere. He'd be like, now I bet him in the wrong place. He'll bite, you know? And isn't it fucked up? I don't think cats should be able to bite. I just, you know, when you think they have claws, so you should be able to bite or you should have claws, but you shouldn't be able to bite and have claws. I think that that's a radically unfair discipline, you know, as far as critters go. Shouldn't be able to, because then you pin you with the claws and then move the head to bite you. And it's twice. My hands have come out like totally wrecked at times, 100%. And this is my cat. You know, this cat, we love it. Like, this cat and I, we love each other. I mean, we really, honestly, we're buds. And he'll be like, but I just noticed he complains more. Doesn't that sound familiar? He complains more about things. Complains more about everything. He really does. And he seems, like, unhappy at times. Other times he seems, you know, oh, great. But other times he seems, like, profoundly unhappy, like, sad. My cat's sad. And I like look at him sometimes and I'm like, you know, what's wrong? And he just looks at me, you know, and it's like, I don't get it. He never used to be like that. This cat was a ball. He was a joy. He was the sun in the sky. He was he was awesome. He really was. Even if you didn't feel crappy, he'd come around and he'd be like, meow, 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 meow. You know, he was, you know, I think they call that emotional IQ. Pretty decent. I mean, not, you know, he's a little selfish because he's a cat, but pretty decent, you know. He doesn't seem to be, he's more like, what do you want me to do about it, you know? Which is like hilarious, you know. I could probably do 4 hours on my cat. I could. Yeah, I don't talk about Spatsy enough. I don't reference him enough, you know. He's a good cat, you know. He's all right. The other one, she's a stone killer. You see that cat coming? Run. Run. She's a stone killer. Lately, she's gotten into stalking me. Like, she'll even be under the bed when I wake up. She'll, like, stay under there waiting for me to get up because she thinks there's some milk involved. She's not lactose intolerant, apparently, which is really rare for animals, apparently, or at least cats, from what I understand. They get they raise on milk, and then they immediately get lactose intolerant, which is ironic. Could explain certain things. But she'll follow me around, and I only go across the hallway, so she'll follow me across the hallway. And she'll start being nice to me because she thinks I got milk. Now, some days I have milk, and other days I just have, you know, like a bagel or one of those carnation thingies with a banana in it. Just enough to get my psychotropics running up and running. make sure all scanners are charged. And then she'll take a bath. And you'll go away and take a bath. So there's this intense, you know? And I don't know if you know, I'm going to do this, it turned into the cat show. I don't know if you all have cats out there, how many of you have cats or not, but I think it's funny sometimes. And I don't know whether this is something that's just with my cat, Dispatchy does this a lot. Like, he'll be dead asleep, you know, and I'll like wake him up, and he'll like wake up, and then he'll automatically start licking something, you know, like he was awake and licking something, and you know, and it's not like you caught him when he was asleep or something. Those of you who have experienced that will know what I mean. But I think I'm going to be as terrified as that little critter. I think Cornelia's going to handle it fine because she's like an alpha cat. She's tough, that cat. But I think Spatsy is going to be scared out of his mind. And probably as scared as I am. Like I said, I think we have that in common. It's you know, so I can even relate more. And he doesn't know it's coming. I'm going to have to stick him in one of those boxes, one of those carrier thingies. And it could be like 2 days, which really sucks. But we'll stop overnight in pet-friendly places, and we'll let him out and do some walking and maybe set up a little pan so he can poop or whatever. But, yeah, it's, you know, I've never traveled with cats. I don't really know what it's, you know. I can tell you the last time I went to the vet with Spatsy, he peed himself repeatedly. So that should give you some, and that was on the way there. So that's not even, you know, say, ah, that was literally just, you know, traveling in the car with him. And he started to do a little chattering, you know, with a physical, like, that, which is really, you feel bad for the critters. You know, I don't think I'll be chattering. I think I need some sort of sedation, though. I'll tell you that much. I might save some of my muscle relaxants and maybe double up on those or something. Or maybe 2 clonidine, something. I don't know. I'm going to abuse whatever drugs I can. It's hard these days. To, like, really take the edge off. Because there's this ginormous edge. This isn't, like, again, I know people move, oh, I move there, you move all the time. It's like, when's the last time you moved cross country? Again, when's the last time you did that? Getting too fucking old for this shit. That's what I keep trying to say. I'm getting too old for this stuff. And I never thought I'd live this long. So, you know, I sometimes I just think back to, like, some of the stuff that ran through my head when I was sitting in John's studio, you know, JPL, with friggin' Randy, fucking Mike the Joke Man. And I never thought that I was going to get like them. I never thought that I was going to. Do you know what I'm saying? I never thought that I was going to be like that. I know, you know, I'm like old and whiny and, you know, just kind of like, you know, because everybody had 15 years on me. Average. 15 years, even more. Mike was 20 years older than I was. I never, you know, nobody, if it was like, I would look at them and I'd be like, man, I can't believe they bought in. You know, they're still, if it's that bad, just check out. You know, that was really where my head was at. And it just, I don't know. I didn't, like I said, no plan. That's why even now it's really strange to have a plan because, and Gina she'll testify to this is, you know, we've had circumstance and we've had action taken directly related to circumstance occurring, but we've never actually plan something ahead to whatever degree. We've always been reactionary people. And with what's going on now, we're not being reactionary people. We're actually, you know, we have a plan. We're thinking about it, how to do it, and, you know, whatnot ahead of time. It's not being foisted upon us. It's not some emergency break in the case of emergency glass type emergency situation. It's not any of that, which is nice. It's, you know, it's nice to be in, for lack of in control of your own decisions and having options. You know, again, it's almost like you feel like you're captain of your own ship again for a little while. Or if it's not a ship, at least it's a dinghy. For a little while. And that is, that's, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, that alone, you know, we've decided that we're doing this, you know, and that's great. That's great. Because, you know, unfortunately, you can't always live your life with the wind at your back. It doesn't always, you know what I mean? And we've been fortunate to be able to go from kind of pushed along to one thing to pushed along to the next thing to pushed along to, and it's all worked out, which is, again, why I firmly believe in God, or at least if not your God, my God. You know, what the difference there is, I don't know, but perhaps I have a better rapport with my God than you. I don't know. I can't speak to your relationship with God. But I think everybody should have some sort of relationship with some sort of God. How's that? I feel outright no shit comfortable saying. But yeah, that's what's going on pretty much in the world of Midwood. I'm looking forward to moving to a red state for sure. And they're not going to turn that thing purple or even blue. There's no way. You know, Austin is going to be strange because Austin is like strange. That's what it's supposed to be. But the rest of Texas will remain the same. Or with little change, it just, you know, it's not going to change. So that's good. So now I know my vote will actually matter, which is nice. It won't be canceled out on the electoral college level, which is good. I'm comfortable with that. And, you know, Ted Cruz, we'll get over it. You know, it's what are you going to do? I mean, he's not evil. The left is having him painted as if like he abandoned his doggy and whatnot. There was somebody there taking care of the dog, you know. Lady Gaga got her dogs back, which is, you know, I don't really like her at all, even remotely. Spirit cooking bitch. But I like dogs. I like other people's dogs. So I like, you know, so I'm glad that her dogs were reunited with her dog walker again. That's a way to put it. People have dogs and they're hard to raise. It's like having kids and having a nanny raise the kid. It's like, okay, whatever. So I'm glad that that's been rectified to one degree or another. With all the everything that was going on in the world, that became like really gripping news. You know, the Tiger Woods thing is, I guess, it is a complicated guy. You know, we'll just leave it at that. You know, I like to think that he's going to be able to have some sort of, you know, well-deserved, nice life for the rest of his life. If he never plays golf again, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't think he needs to really do anything again, but that doesn't speak to a man's spirit and what he needs to do in order to feel, you know, alive. You know, we wouldn't want to become dead inside. It's too much of that going on. So, yeah, you know, but I just find it interesting how we always become wrapped up in celebrity stories. You know, like how many, apparently there's been a slew of French bulldog nappings in the Los Angeles area, which is really interesting. Maybe they're going back to their home planet. Maybe it's time. They're all getting together and they're going to board the big bone-shaped spaceship. Go back to wherever they came from. I don't know. A little heartburn. Yikes, hang on. I had sausage and biscuits for dinner. Those of you who might not be of any sort of Southern awareness wouldn't know exactly what that is. But it's homemade biscuits with a white gravy and generally Jimmy Dean sausage, case of sausage cracked open, and so you cook that up, and then you make it all together, and then you pour it over the biscuits. It's really good. But I think I might have caught a spot of heartburn. I'm not 100% sure. Digestion issues are just, I could see myself having digestive problems going forward. That, you know, the GERD has reasserted itself at times, which is really, 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 really sucks. But that's been standard. And, you know, I never used to, I don't know if people talking about why I used to like my steak this way, now I like it that way. I could never really swallow pills well. I have a terrible gag reflex, first of all, just to put that on the table. And then I never was ever really able to swallow pills very well, even one single pill. Now I'm taking like a dozen pills and popping, you know, bouncing them off the top of my mouth and like with a little gurgle of water. God, like they were never there. You know, I think you just get to a point where your body adjusts and whatnot. It's like maybe even muscle memory to a certain degree. But I have to wonder what all these pills are doing to me as far as my stomach and my liver and my kidneys and all that jazz. I get tested for levels every now and then. Kidney disease is closely related to diabetes. I have to start taking care of the diabetes. If I'm 7 or under, I kind of treat it like I don't have it. And that's just bullshit because I am definitely diabetic. So, and I'm at 7 now on the A1C. So I think I really need to start acting like I'm a diabetic. I will give up everything except my Red Bull on Saturday. I want my Red Bull. Me and my Red Bull. Just again, let's just see. Look, you can see it says 20. What, the blue one will be better because it won't reflect the light. Oh, no, they both reflect the light horribly. Oh, there it is. 20 ounces. 20 fluid ounces. So that's like 3 servings. So, but I have to start, you know, stop with the other stuff. I think we said like March 1st, the producer and I really, because, you know, we enable each other. This is a problem with two people when you live together. You enable each other, you know? It's like, hey, want to get 16 peaches? Sure. Sure. Okay. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah. So it's a team effort. It's a team effort to feel better, you know? And that's the thing. I don't know. My people who are single, they're like, oh, I don't have the answer to anybody. And but when you're going through something tough, there's always, you know, you have a partner that you can talk to, you know, that you can, you don't get that when you're single. You may have friends, but it's not the same. It's not the same. You know what I mean? So there's something you said to not being single. Not necessarily married, but not being single. There's something to be said for, I actually think. And again, when two people are, you can enable each other in the negative context, but I think you can also enable each other in the positive context if you both make a determination that you want to move in that direction and or it's necessary to move in that direction. And I think that that's what the end of the day thing is going to be with my health. Is I need it's necessary for me to move in that direction because I would feel so much less crap here. And I would have a better program as a result of it. I would, there wouldn't be these random hours of complaining and whining about stuff. You know, I could have had Spatsy come out here and do an hour. He would have went, but I didn't, mainly because I couldn't find him. Sometimes he just goes, he gets enough of it and he's like, okay, I love you, but I need to leave now. He goes, and you can't see him for a day. He's like, oh, where did he go? You know, and then when you see him, he's like, oh, you know, yeah, I remember you. That sort of thing. But, yeah, I like to think I'm more observational. You know, I turn my rapier-like wit on myself, as they say. I'm more observational in regards to my own situation. You know, it sounds like I like complaining. On the overall, I really, when I think about all the really good things that have happened to me and I think about all the really bad things that have happened to me, I'm probably still in positive numbers. Yes. Yes. See, so that isn't meant to minimize the things that have happened to me and it's not meant to accentuate the things that, you know, are good things. But I think there's an even, it's somewhere around zero. It's not that too far off one way or another. And that makes me a very fortunate individual. I consider myself to be fortunate. So, you know, I got like 5 minutes left. I guess it's important after whining for an hour or so. Yeah, I'm all right. Things are good here. It's only going to get better. So that's important. That's important for everybody to remember, including myself. So I hope to be back next week with a little bit more structured program. I kind of like when they are structured. A little music, got some new segments, got a little monologue segment, you know, that basically would be a shorter version of what you heard tonight. Most of you who listen know that that's the case. You know, it, unless you're telling your friends, tell your friends. It's the only way this program's going to grow is if you tell your friends, because I'm not advertising. It could be like Fight Club, only without the fighting. It could just be the club. First rule of club is tell people about club. Second rule of club. We don't have a second rule yet. We don't. We're working on it. It's a work in action, or, you know, work in progress. Is there anything else? Let's see. I'm trying to think. Be sure to press play. No. Be sure to catch President Trump tomorrow. Figure out when it's on. I know most of my audience is Trump positive. Because I'm probably going to talk about it next week anyway, but it'll be a week later. So, yeah. I know I'm looking forward to it. And what else? What else is there? So it's Sunday, so try to relax as well, too. I think there should be one day a week that you really just kind of like, do nothing. I agree with God on that one. I think there should be one day, one Sabbath day. Whether it's Saturday or whether it's Sunday, we, you know, I don't know. We could fight it out. You know, Old Testament, New Testament, flip a coin, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like if you put like Yahweh, or let's see a cage match between Yahweh and Jesus. Don't you think that that would be fascinating? Don't you think? Seriously, Old Testament God versus New Testament. Don't you think that that would be flipping fascinating to watch? I know I'd pay for that on pay-per-view. For sure. For sure, they could donate the proceeds to charity. Even. That would be awesome. Don't you think? Perhaps we should start petitions.org thing on that. Because I know I would really like to see it. Anyway. Who knows? I may get to see that in my lifetime. I've considered myself to be extraordinary in the sense of the times that I've lived in, the things I've been able to experience and see for myself. Yeah, it's true. These are amazing times. All right, so let me do my plugs here so I can get the flock out of here. Get it? Jesus, fuck. Anyway, head over to lfmidwood.com. It's the home of the Midwood Files, both old and new. Actually, it's a New Testament, I suppose. Head over to the top there on the top left, second from the left. You'll find a webinar R&I that'll take you over to see John Lightning, the amazing John Lightning, and the lesser amazing Dave the Boogeyman, and the no longer amazing Big Steve Cole. His stuff's up there in perpetuity. Perpetuity? Yeah, perpetuity. Perpetuity. That's it. Perpetuity. Took me a little while. It was a lot of stuff up there, actually. By the way, he did a lot of good stuff with the music. They had to do up music. He was like a savant, and we found what it was, which is really good. Really good. I wish I'd find it. Yeah, you can head all the way over to the right. You'll find a good friend, Brad Reed, over there at Grits Radio. He runs the show on his stream over there. Thanks, Brad. Really appreciative. You got archives with little witty things on them because that's the producer who comes up with these witty things. You'll find my social media over here. Yeah, over here. Which is all the way over to the right for those of you not doing the video subcast. Twitter's like tripping again. I don't know what the deal is with Twitter, and Facebook's just like, oh my God. You know, and then Instagram is all of them. They're all up there. There's even, I think the last one is the phone. You can actually text that phone or leave a voice message if you wish. That's 401-484-1313, I believe is that number. LFMidwood.com, LFMidwood@LFMidwood.com is the email address. Gets you in touch with me semi-directly. I should check that box a little bit more often on a weekly basis, but sometimes I just don't. And there's always the contact on top of the page, which will require an email address, but doesn't actually use it. Yeah, I know, right? Funny, isn't it? Anyway, it's ironic. That being said, I think I'm going to take my Red Bull. I still got a little left in. It says up on the bottom of the can. Anyway, it's been fun. Next week, back to work. I'm going to go back to work next week. It's going to be one of those shows. I'm going to start to get into a little bit of grind. You know, do this, do that, a little bit of that, a little compartmentalization, maybe a couple of jingles, you know. It'll sound like something. Instead of this nebulous void, you know, just get into these nebulous void shows where they're going. Yeah. But I would like to remind you, for better or for worse, it is stream of consciousness, which is basically what the show is intended to be. So, that being said, I'm going to stream myself right out of here. Head over to the thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And let me hit this.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.